Before we get started with this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including iTunes, the Stitcher Radio app for your smart device, CairoRadio.com, and the all-new Adore Network at Adore.fm. Let's get started with the episode. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 278 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom indeed, folks. Boom indeed. We've got a great show planned for you. This week, Manatee Commune, the man behind the music, Grant Eady, is going to be joining us here on the show. We recorded this a couple weeks ago while he was on a tour with Emancipator, playing a show at the Showbox, so we recorded it down there. And a lot of fun was had, okay? Talking about video games, talking about his music, talking about EDM, and the age-old question of, what it takes to actually make that music. It's a really interesting conversation, especially for a guy who's, he's basically just starting out and beginning to have a following and all that good stuff. And it's great, great music, so I think you guys are going to enjoy it. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend here in the States. We did. I had a great time. I was fully prepared for, like, knockout, drag-out political discussion, which usually happens. Something usually happens, right? I have a little bit too much to drink, and then my Uncle John will say something crazy, and I will spout off, and so will my father. And then it just makes things totally awkward. But that didn't happen this year. It didn't happen at all. Everybody was thankful. Everybody was joyful. We were full of holiday cheer, and it was a great time. I even got in a nap. I even got in a nap, man. Ate so much I had to actually lay down later as well, because I literally felt like I was the dude in Seven who was fed spaghetti to death. That's where I was at. I'm sure half of America was there with me. Just like side-splittingly painful, man. Literally side-splitting. It hurt so bad. I had to lay down. I can't keep doing that. One bad thing, though, is my grandma overcooked the turkey. It was a little dry. She messed with the system, though. She got a pre-brined turkey. She usually doesn't do that. And she messed with it, man. You can't fuck with the system. You can't mess with it. You know, you mess with something, and it throws everything off. Although the mashed potatoes were still amazing. It's just the turkey was dry, man. Anyway, I hope you guys had a great one. We got a couple of emails pertaining to last week's episode with We Were Promised Jetpacks. Let's see. This one from listener Jeff says, Peter is a nickname. If you did your research, you would know that. Haha, JK. I know you don't do that. Thank you, listener Jeff, for that email. We got actually several saying the same thing. Yes, Peter is the nickname of the drummer. And of Darren Lackey, and I didn't know that. I thought I mistakenly called him Peter for some reason, and then you guys corrected me. I also did a little bit of research after I put the episode up and realized that I was not mistaken in calling him Peter, because that's what everybody calls him. Anyway, yeah, there you go. Thanks a lot, Jeff, and thank you to all basically 30 or 40 of you who emailed me with the same message. But glad you guys liked the show with We Were Promised Jetpacks. Okay, let's get into it, shall we? We're going to be featuring music today from the band Manatee Commune, or from the guy, Grant Eady. Let's see. The first time I found out about Grant was this Tiny Desk concert submission, which was submitted to NPR, and it was a really, really great little video of him by himself. Let's say just playing his tunes, man. Playing this song called Wake, which we're going to feature in the middle part of the episode. I think you're really going to enjoy it. And I would urge you guys to go to his website, manateecommune.co, and check out that video as well, because it's very impressive. Very impressive, man. The music is very chill. It incorporates a lot of like chiptune in it, and of course live instrumentation with guitars and drums and violin. He is a very, very talented person, a very talented multi-instrumentalist, and we'll be talking about that as well. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. So first song first, we're going to go with, let's see, this song is called White Smoke, featuring the beautiful singing voice of Marina Price. Okay, here we are. White Smoke by Manatee Commune featuring Marina Price. And we'll be back in just a moment, just a little bit, with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears with special guest this week, Grant Eady, Manatee Commune. All right, episode 278. Let's do this, folks. Be back in a moment. Back here many times doing stuff like this.
Yeah.
And this is the first time that I've seen a band bring a ping pong table with them.
Oh yeah.
And set it up in their green room.
Yeah, it's important. We're all pretty decent. Actually, Doug and Tony Blockhead and Emancipator are both incredibly good ping pong players.
Yeah.
They're like I've been playing ping pong like most of my life, and like they're the only people that can, like, very consistently, like, beat the crap out of me every time. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So that was kind of like a humble brag.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was. That's exactly what that was. Well identified.
I'm really good at this.
Yeah.
There are only two guys that can beat me.
Oh, man. I have a feeling you're going to tear me apart for this entire interview.
I'm not going to. That's
okay,
not
cool.
That's not my intent, man.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a humble brag. There's a couple people back in Bellingham who they try, and they do pretty good. But these guys, they know what to do. They have strategy. So
nice.
It's good though.
Nice.
My plan is by the end of the tour to at least beat one of them at least one time.
So that's a good goal.
I think so.
That's a good tour goal.
Yeah. It's you know, I'm like putting kind of music on the back burner and really focusing on ping pong.
On your ping pong. That's great. I've never had ping pong. Has always escaped me. Like ping pong, tennis, pickleball,
really,
all that
like
stuff.
All paddle sports.
All paddle sports.
What about
I can't
like
do it? I can't.
What about birdies and what is that one called?
The badminton.
Badminton.
That one's easier because they kind of float almost.
True. You have time to think about it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Totally.
Exactly.
I just, the long stick is the one that I cannot get over because like pickleball and like tennis, like the racket is like connected to the paddle. But that one, there's like this long like distance between it and you have to like figure out that extension. I've never been good
See,
at
maybe
it.
That's my problem is that I played too much badminton as a small child.
Yeah. Maybe you need to
kind
find
of, you know, yeah, made myself used to that.
Yeah.
And now I can't do it with the small paddles.
You've soiled yourself. And then mm-hmm. you need to like mm-hmm. you need to get some paddles with like a longer extension, you know, some like special paddles. And I think you could be good at all those sports.
Maybe that's a thing I should shoot for. in today for my ongoing career. So did you guys actually bring this thing with you? This paddle, this ping pong table, like travels around with you guys?
Yeah, it's actually like it's in our trailer with us, which is pretty cool.
That's amazing.
I know, I'm really excited about it. I honestly didn't believe them when they told us. So last night was the first night that we pulled it out, and that's since I've been on the tour. And it's so funny, dude. Like selling merch for like a minute and stuff and then just like hopping right back downstairs to play ping pong. It's addicting. It's really addicting. Like I kind of forgot about like sound checking and stuff. It's bad. But it's
getting to that point.
It's eclipsing my musical career. Yeah.
That's the problem I have with some video games.
Definitely, dude.
Like I have called in sick to work on many occasions because of Fallout New Vegas.
I was gonna ask you, have you played Fallout 4?
I have not.
Okay, I haven't either yet.
I don't know if I can get, because now I got two young kids, mm-hmm. and I don't know if I can devote that time. Like, they're both mobile now.
Absolutely.
So they're up, they're running around. So I would have to wait until, you know, everybody goes to bed, 7:30 or so, and then play until 2 o'clock in the morning, and then wake up at 5 to get up for work.
Jeez.
So.
Yeah.
That might drag that down.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little bit.
I think. Like I had to do the same thing with like Skyrim. Like when came out,
that
like
one?
I had a really, really hard time with like I bought it, I played it through, and I got to that point where it was like I could really see this literally destroying my life, like 100% all the way through. And it's not one of those games like you can just pick up and be like, you know, I'll just do like a quest, you know, and like I'll just hang out. Just maybe like then, for an hour
then,
or so.
And then you're catching butterflies.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's
4 hours.
It's the games that, like, when you're in situations where you're like, man, I want to go like explore or something. You just have like that sensation of like exploring, and instead of being like, you know, maybe I'll go to the farmer's market today, or you know, maybe I'll go get drinks with friends. You're like, I'm gonna go explore this world that somebody made on this like console, and I'm gonna do that for the next 8 hours. And you know, but it's so relaxing.
Eight, man, it's like 14.
Yeah, you're right. I know eight is like bring an amateur. Yeah,
exactly. Grant Eady of the group Manatee Commune. It's just you though, right?
It is just no group, me, but there is a group built into the name, so you could say group.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. I don't know how to categorize the EDM stuff.
I don't know either. I mean, I guess it is a group. I have a lot of people on my team. I have a manager and a you know, and a tour manager and a agent and all that jazz. So I guess it's obviously more than me. It's a commune.
Yeah. Now, when did all this kind of start taking off for you? I remember because the first time I became aware of you was seeing the video that you did for the Tiny Desk submission
last year,
which is super impressive.
Dude, thank you.
By
I
the
appreciate
way,
that
video was great.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it.
Just for people who haven't seen, we'll post a link to this on the website. But you basically built kind of this office space, and then you started, as the song progresses, stuff is getting taken away until the reveal is that you're basically standing on a cliff, overlooking the ocean, and it's just this beautiful serene place.
It's a cool spot. It's this Samish overlook, kind of just like 20 minutes south of Bellingham. It's like it's amazing because you get to see.
So it wasn't the ocean, it was straight one of Fuca.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, it's that whole, that's kind of like that whole bay kind of spot. It's it's all blocked off by the San Juan Islands. Like you can see Fidalgo Island and stuff from there, which is really cool. It's a beautiful place, dude. I honestly am still blown away that we managed to get all of our crap up there.
Yeah.
It was quite the event, but
so it wasn't just like next to a parking lot. You had to really lug that stuff along.
Oh no, it wasn't that bad. We did have to there's like a lot of like logging roads and stuff up there.
Sure.
So there's this like really sketchy logging road that leads up to like a little parking lot space. But that spot is huge for paragliders. Like they love to just
that
like,
makes sense, man. Because it's really it looked like it was really high up there.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy. And on the other side, you can see. See, that's looking out towards the ocean, like looking west. But if you look south, you can see Mount Rainier.
Oh, nice.
And it was like a perfectly clear day. It was crazy. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
But
so is that where things started to take off for you a little bit? Because I know that that got a lot of airplay.
Yeah, totally. That was definitely probably the biggest boost I had. Yeah, when that NPR interview came out, it was like, I mean, all the numbers. It's really wild to watch like social media like blow up for like a short period of time like that.
So you did get the interview from that.
Yeah.
Yours was chosen.
Totally.
Oh,
well,
okay.
Well, it was the winning prize of the Tiny Desk thing was you get to go to South by Southwest and play the Lagunitas showcase. And I didn't get picked for that, but they said that I came in second, which is really cool. But I don't know if there really is like a second. They just put me in like their top seven up on the
They're
website.
Like, we should probably talk to this guy anyway.
Yeah,
we
which
should
was
get him
really
on.
Sweet. Like,
yeah.
I was way stoked about that, especially considering like I think being like I was the only one who's up there like playing my own stuff, like doing something that not a lot of people I think understand, like the whole electronic music thing. And then like I was doing like relatively unique stuff, like the viola part and like the drums and all that jazz. And I also kind of when we did it kind of felt like a little bit like I had this like kind of gimmick that was going along with it, and I felt kind of like the music wasn't like the entire aspect of it, if that makes sense. So I kind of like when they did get back to me, I was like really like, wow, that's awesome. Like, I'm glad that they really liked the song, and then that video happened to go so well with it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I didn't expect to get anything from it, and great things have come from
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, really, that's really awesome, cool. man. Who came up with the idea for the video?
Actually, it was my manager, Austin. He
Yeah.
Yeah, he
nice guy, by the way.
Yeah.
I interacted with him a bunch today.
Great yeah, he's dude. A really cool dude. He's going to be here later tonight.
Yeah.
I'm kind of bummed he isn't here right now, cuz he would have some really cool things to say about the making of that video. But he'd been putting together some really cool ideas. He thought of, he was thinking about like trying to get a lot of the Tiny Desk concerts are so stagnant. It's literally just somebody on their desk. Like,
right.
And people have come up with great ideas. I mean, like there was people using like office supplies and stuff like that, and that was really cool. But his idea was to do something that was in motion. So like the first one was like, what if we got like a trailer on the back of a car and we drove around like,
That's a good idea too.
Yeah, exactly. And then
and he was like, "That's a beautiful drive. That would be a great video on a sunny day."
Absolutely. Yeah. Also, really dangerous.
Yes.
So that was like kind of the main problem. Was like, we're gonna need like a lot of duct tape. Like, gonna have to practice it a bunch. And then he was like, "Well, what if we did like a train car? Like, where the heck would we get a train car?" Bunch of other ideas. But then it kind of like it switched from like the movement coming from underneath me to like the movement around me. And he thought of the idea of like building this like room and stuff. And he put together all that stuff. And then I just practiced the song a bunch, and we got up there. We kind of like talked about some ideas, kind of put it all together. And then the idea didn't really come together until we did it like on the second take.
Yeah.
And it really kind of started to get that like that moment at the end when like the shot comes up and you can see like the whole overlook.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really cool. But yeah, that's that was pretty much all his idea.
Yeah. So. That's great.
Yeah.
So I've been noticing a lot like like artists like yourself or like groups like Odessa or Emancipator, who you're playing with tonight and you're on tour with right now, a lot more EDM groups are integrating live sounds and other musicians and actual instrumentation into kind of the whole digital universe.
Totally.
And where did you come up with the idea for that? To go that route with your music?
Oh man, I think it was more I never really felt like much like an EDM artist. I always kind of felt like I played in like an indie band before. I've been playing like orchestra like my whole life, and so like live instrumentation, it was something I always like connected with whenever I saw shows, just in general.
Yeah.
So like the idea of like just, and I did this for a long time where I just go up and press buttons, and I could feel, I didn't feel connected. My audience members, I didn't think felt connected. And I realized like the thing that I was craving was that kind of like live band experience.
Yeah.
And so I think the idea was kind of always there. It was just trying to figure out how to integrate it and not look like an idiot, because it can look like a little bit goofy.
Well, especially when you're trying to do it all by yourself.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. I kind of look like a one man band, like bells and whistles, like. Yeah. Have this contraption kind of built around me or whatever, but
that's funny you say that, because we were just having that conversation with Jack Garrett.
Oh, really?
Garrett was on the show like a month ago, and I suggested that he, you know, go the Mary Poppins route and just tie some cymbals to his knees. Dude. You know, I mean, it might work.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've seen people do it, like putting like foot pedals underneath, like all their like kick drums and stuff, like in like while they have like around their Ableton setup. And. And it looks hokey, but it works, and it does what people want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, someday I'd really like to get to what Emancipator is doing, where he has like all of his friends coming out, and you know, they're all just really tight musicians, and they just play his music, and that is a great way to play, I think, electronic music, because I think what EDM is at right now is that there's a lot of composers and there's a lot of producers, and they can play most of the instruments. They just can't play them all at once.
Right.
And so there's kind of like a level you can get to where you make enough money at shows that you can bring along people to just play all the instruments that you have on your album. And like Bonobo is a really good example. Like when he started touring on like Black Sands and stuff, and he had all his vocalists coming with him. He had like, most of the things that he was sampling, he brought all the musicians with him as well. And like, I'd really like to get to that point, but that'll be like when I can fund my own life and other people's lives at the same time. You know what I mean? So right now it's, I think like I'm just doing my best to put on that live show.
Sure.
And, yeah, I think, you know, I really think like people just, I can just see it. Like everybody connects so much better when there's live instruments. I mean, it is like night and day.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. Although I have been to some pretty spectacular shows, and maybe that's why, you know, oh God, what was the one it was at Sasquatch a couple of years ago. With Teeth? Does that sound familiar?
No.
With Teeth?
With Teeth. That'd be
a really
cool name.
It was somebody with Teeth. I can't remember, but it was an amazing, it was just one guy, one DJ, you know, controlling everything, but it was an amazing show on the main stage, you know, fireworks and confetti and, you know,
yeah.
All
so he had like a production to go with
it. He had a
it.
Whole production that goes with it, and that's how it makes it interesting, right?
Yeah, like, that is very true, and that's the other thing about EDM that I really like is that it... you can like get into that just craziness, you know,
right.
You can get into
right.
the just like,
you can make it an audio visual.
Totally. Like, visuals thing. And like visual mapping and like
sure.
the confetti cannons and like people doing like, I mean,
do you
so
want to go that route?
That stuff. Definitely. I mean, like I've built my own visuals for this tour and that's been really cool. I have like a, this just like a projector screen behind me running all these visuals I made that are linked up to
cool.
my setup, which is really fun. It was a pain in the butt to make, but it's been really cool. I would love to do that someday. I mean, like in my Sasquatch set, they let me use their confetti cannons, and it was like the most dramatic, amazing experience.
So wait, do you have like a foot pedal that like controls it?
No, there was
like when you do it.
No, there's a bunch of people. So like right before the show, this is so funny. Right before the show is like 20 minutes before, the guy's like, "Okay, when should we fire off the confetti cannons?" And they're like looking for like a time, like you know, exactly 31 minutes and 47 seconds into our set. But I was like, okay, so there's this one song that has two drops, and there's this girl singing, and I play guitar, and at the second drop you go. And so he was like, that's not enough. Yeah, that's, you gotta give me more. So my manager Austin, the one true savior, he kind of coached them, and they found the exact moment when they wanted to set off the confetti cannons, and they nailed it. I mean, like, you can see, I have like a little video online of what it looked like. The sun was coming in through the dance tent, and the confetti cannons were going off. So like all the confetti was flying down, and it was perfect. It was like right on time. It was like everybody said that was like the highlight of their little Sasquatch experience.
Oh, that's so great, man.
Yeah, I was really excited
about
that.
That's cool.
But I think, I don't know, how much are confetti cannons? They're like, you know, $5,000 each or something like
are
that.
Are they really?
Something like
that.
It
seems like you could probably build one of those pretty easily, right?
That is very true. You know,
it's just an air compressor and a tube.
Yeah.
And filled with paper. Just, like,
I wonder how, like, do you think many, like, venues would be too mad at me if I brought something like
probably.
That?
Probably.
Yeah. I have a feeling there'd be some angry people.
There might be a fire hazard involved in that.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's another one. I've played a show with pyrotechnics before.
Uh-huh.
And that was a pretty wild experience. That was at Bonnaroo. And they had, like, these two giant tubes of, like, propane that would just fire these huge fire jets in the air, and that was hilarious. I was actually like walking off stage.
Is it pretty rad to like be just standing right next to that shit as it's going off?
It
that's
is,
gotta
dude.
Be pretty cool, right?
When it went off, it actually scared me like a lot because I didn't know that it was gonna happen.
Yeah,
and the like stage manager at the time, he put his hand on my shoulder and he like lightly said into my ear, "It's okay."
As you're shaking,
yeah. As I'm like, what?
The fuck is happening?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Oh god, it was amazing. I also like that set was really fun. I played for like 10,000 people, which is by far the biggest show I've ever played.
Uh-huh. And,
so I was like all, you know, high on show adrenaline,
sure,
or whatever.
Sure.
And I was walking off the stage, and I like walked right next to one of the pyrotechnic tubes that were firing off, and they had security surrounding them. But like somehow I got through the security, and they went off, and I was not supposed to be anywhere near it. So it was like. It was like hot. It was like really hot.
Oh, I'm sure.
And a security guy came over and like grabbed me and was like, "You almost got yourself killed." I was like, "Oh my god, dude!
You need to Grant. You need to watch out."
Yeah, dude. I'm too airheaded for this game, man. But yeah.
So, so we mentioned briefly that you are a multi-instrumentalist.
Yeah.
You started in music when?
Oh,
as a youngin'?
Yeah, I was a youngin'. I was like 8 years old, nine years old. I started playing violin, viola.
Was that a forced thing?
No, it was definitely on purpose.
You wanted to.
Definitely. My dad played Celtic music in the house like all the time. So I really wanted to play violin because of that. And I picked viola because I thought it was like kind of a different thing. Everybody was playing violin at the time. It was too popular, you know. I've been a hipster from the beginning, and
violin being too popular.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's ever been said before.
Yeah, it's probably true. Oh man, there's probably somebody so mad at me for saying that. But then I started playing guitar in like high school, which that kind of like got me into like I could play two instruments. So I was like, oh man, I should try to record my own stuff. And that got me into, like, the production aspect of it. And I didn't really start making, like, electronic music until, like probably halfway through college. And, I'm not really sure how I got into that, though. That was kind of by accident.
It just kind of happened. Yeah, was it like, you were taking influences from what you were listening to?
I was listening to a lot of Gold Panda back in the day.
Yeah.
Lucky Shiner is, like, one of my favorite albums of all time. And, I guess I didn't really understand how he was making those sounds for a long time until I like read an interview of him like talking about finding like all these old records of his dad's from like China, and like he wrote that album in like 3 weeks, like in his like aunt's house or something like that, like over Christmas break or something, and so that like really inspired me because I was like, wow, that's really easy. Like I wonder if I could do something like that.
Yeah.
And then, I made like a short little EP and. It kind of like got picked up in Bellingham, and there was like all this like support from all my friends and like people that I loved, and so I was like, man, this is really cool. Maybe I should try to keep doing this. And then it kind of led me to meet Austin, and then I started playing shows, and here I am.
Yeah, yeah. So grew up, born and raised in Bellingham, Washington.
No, actually in Spokane. I grew up in Spokane, and then Bellingham. Okay. I went to Bellingham to go to Western Washington.
Oh, gotcha. So you said something that struck me just a second ago, is that you said when you were listening to Gold Panda and reading the interview with him, you said, oh, that sounds really easy.
Yeah.
I want to do that. That's one thing that a lot of people, a lot of musicians have gripes with EDM music, is that it's just button pushing, right?
Totally.
I'm sure you hear that.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Does that kind of get your hackles up a little bit?
Maybe a little bit.
Something like that happens?
I have to admit, like, it's like an element of insecurity because, I mean, I have to admit, it's a lot easier to sit in my room and, like, play with MIDI notes and, like, make my own instruments from scratch and stuff like that than it is to invite somebody over, tell them how to play this bass line, and then rehearse it 100 times and then play it out, you know?
Right.
So in that sense, like, I kind of feel like a little bit like a cop out, because I feel like if I was a true traditional musician, I would write my stuff down in like compositional form. I would give it to somebody and they would play it and perform it, and then I would like come back and record it. But I do have a gripe with it in the sense like there is this John Hopkins did a KXP in studio thing.
Okay.
And there was this amazing YouTube conversation that was going on, probably like some of the dumbest people I've ever heard trying to talk about music, and and of course it's YouTube, so like it's what to expect.
Yeah.
But I think I was in like a particular mood that night that I was actually willing to read through that stuff, and it kind of like that was the first time I felt like, wow, these people are really not treating electronic musicians fairly enough.
Right.
That was so a lot of people were saying like, I really like John Hopkins' music, but I feel like he's limiting his musicianship by just performing with CDJs and like a bunch of effects processors. And the truth is electronic music cannot be performed. There's most electronic music just cannot be performed with all live instrumentation. It just cannot be done. It's too complicated. There's too much happening. That's where we've gotten with music these days, is that it's like we've gone through all forms of acoustic instrumentation that we could possibly do. And when we take these steps into like a new frontier, there's always going to be people that are going to be mad about it. And like, what is it? Was it Neil Young who came up on stage with an electric guitar and everybody got super mad at him?
Bob Dylan.
That was it. Yeah. And it's the same sort of thing. Like it's just a new form. When somebody sees somebody doing something that they don't particularly understand all the way through, then of course they're going to have a problem with it.
Yeah.
And
I think for the most part, like the listening public is what I should say. The listening public has accepted now and been around electronic music enough to get it.
Totally.
It's still the purists, right? The diehard musicians and stuff in bands that may not be doing so well and stuff like that that are all pissy about it.
I hate to say it, but whenever I see people like that, I always just want to say, you're just jealous. Because that's the truth.
That's a surefire way of getting into something you don't want to get into on YouTube. Let me tell you.
That's so true.
Yeah, that phrase no longer shuts people down. It just fires them up, man.
Absolutely.
Well, to be completely honest, like I was one of those people too. Like,
fair enough.
You know, I didn't get it. I didn't get what was going on and what it took to like actually create that. You know, like you said earlier, like you creating your own instruments, basically. And now I've seen like videos of other artists that literally are creating like these new boards and rewiring boards and stuff like that to get the sounds that they want out of them and stuff like that, which is insane, dude. That's like that's a whole nother level.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's like musicianship moves into like computer programming.
Sure. Yeah. And it all takes up the same kind of brain space. It's all the artistic brain space,
right? Creative and like the numbers coming together in one thing. Yeah.
But I didn't understand it until I got into actually recording stuff. Right.
Yeah.
And then at that point I was like, whoa, I would never be able to do that shit. Never. Because I do not have the, you know, for lack of a better term, the capacity to, like, get, you know, sit down for hours and try to come up with that kind of stuff. Like, totally. That just escapes me, man. So, bravo.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Well, that's funny because, I mean, there's, like, I think everybody has, like, their one thing that they don't know, they really don't know how to do. But
sure.
But on that note, I actually think that's why, like, the purists with, like, instrumentation stuff are so purist because they've never messed with that stuff before. It's,
I think it's probably a little bit of fear.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it. You know, it's like my dad and buying a new computer. Like, you know, exactly. he doesn't want to buy a new computer because he's afraid he'll fuck it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing.
Totally.
He's afraid he'll spend $1,000 on this new machine. And then all of a sudden break it just by pressing the delete button, you know?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Absolutely, dude. It's all wrapped up in, like, that whole, the fear of, like, moving technology and it moving into artwork. And
right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's, it's a cool, I think it's kind of cool, though, like, that whole disconnect in, like, the musical and, like, the artistic culture and, like, community is, like, a really big, like, symbol of, like, where the times are moving.
Sure.
And especially with, like, DIY stuff. I mean, considering, like, I mean, how young I am and, like, how young, like, most electronic artists are these days. I mean, like, Madion is, like, 17 years old. Like, the Odessa guys are, like, I think they're, like, 25 or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, they're pretty young.
Oh.
And I think everything is just so accessible these days. And, like, mm-hmm. that's... It's becoming such a widespread thing that anybody can kind of tackle it. And I don't know. It's cool. It makes me really excited, actually, that, like, all these – there's, like – we're kind of moving away from, like, the fear of computers. And sure. everybody's kind of starting to accept it for the most part. Because, like, my dad's the same way. But, yeah. like, my dad's yeah. the only person that I know who's, like, afraid of that stuff, you know? Anybody, like, my age is like, yeah, sure, I'll make it happen. Like, I'll learn how to use Adobe Photoshop tomorrow. Like – with a couple of YouTube tutorials and some Adderall.
Are you old enough to know what web TV was?
Oh, God, no. I'm so sorry.
Really?
No.
Oh, my God. So web TV was this thing that you would actually plug into your TV, and it would connect you to the internet.
Really?
And you had, like, a wireless keyboard that came along with it. So it almost looked like a TiVo box.
That sounds right? sick. Yeah.
No, it was awful. Like, it barely worked. I mean, this thing was slower than dial-up.
Wow.
Like, it was really, really bad. And my grandmother had web TV until about a year ago.
Are you serious?
And it would literally take her to sign on to her email. It would take her, like, an hour or
oh
so.
My God.
Just to sign on to the email. And then to click on the email, it would take, like, another, like, 15 minutes to get the actual contents of the email.
Oh, my God.
To read it. So what she would do is she would fire it up. And she would go and she would make breakfast and then do the dishes and then, you know, maybe go and tootle around her
wow.
her vegetable garden and stuff like that and then come back and she would be ready.
Wow. It's like a little...
That's how she operated on that.
That's amazing. It's like a yeah. little event you get to...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then my aunt bought her an iPad.
Oh, my God.
And that was like just blew her mind right open. Like, she had no idea how to use the thing.
Wow, that's crazy.
You know, it was so beyond her, like pushing a tile on a screen was so beyond what she could comprehend. Like, she just doesn't know how to use it.
Wow.
So she still has problems getting into her email on her iPad.
That's crazy. Like, 20,000 times more. Like, I just, that's amazing. Like, going from... Yeah, I've always... That's so funny. That's literally, like, I've always thought of what it would be like to bring somebody from, like, 1980s to, like, right now.
Oh,
like,
it'd be...
Zero to, like,
yeah, right people now. Always think about, like, bringing... Like, if the forefathers were here today.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, dude, if they were here today, they'd jump off a goddamn building.
Yeah, they would literally kill
Because that would be sensory overload.
Totally.
Right?
Absolutely. No, there's no way they would possibly... that's so funny, though. Your grandma, she had never even tried, like, another computer before?
I'm sure she had used mm-hmm. one at my parents' house or whatever. But, yeah, she was content with it, you
wow.
know?
That's
and it,
cool,
and it kind of freaked her out, you know? Getting something new, like, kind of freaked her out. But now that she's still slowly learning this, you know, this new technology, right? And yeah, so every time I see her, she's like, I downloaded an app. You know, I got Mahjong on my iPad. Like, that's grandma, so that's cool, great. Though.
That's like, I mean, it's like raising a child.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, grandma, you know what you need is a NES emulator. And then said, you know, then it's just silence.
No idea what that is.
No.
That's so funny, dude. That's amazing.
So yeah. How old are you, Grant?
I am 22.
You're 22 years old. Mm-hmm. You've accomplished quite a bit in that short time span, wow. My friend.
Man, thank you. I still feel like I have a long ways to go, but it's, you know, it's all relative. I think you take one step and you see the step above and, you know, that sort of thing.
It's got to be kind of an exciting progression, though, right?
I am really excited, especially for this tour. I mean, this is my first, like, national tour. And uh-huh. So it's, I mean, I've barely played shows outside of Washington or Oregon. And so, like, this is really huge for me, especially playing for, like, audience members that have, like, a very, I mean, Emancipator has, like, a really dedicated audience.
Sure.
Like, such really passionate people. And just, like, the few shows that I've played with them so far, only four, and, like, my inbox and, like, on Facebook and SoundCloud and Twitter and all the social media outlets are, like, people are just hitting me up all over the place. It's really cool.
That's
nothing
great,
but
man.
Love. But
that's good to hear.
Yeah, it's been really cool. I am excited about it. It's I'm really curious where, like, this whole project is going to take me. You know, there's no, I really don't have any predictions for, like,
do you feel like it's got staying power for you?
Definitely. I have to say, like, music is kind of like a running river. I can't really stop. I've tried to stop a couple times.
Yeah.
And, I mean, especially when I was, like, having trouble in college and I wasn't keeping up on my studies and all that stuff. And
because music was taking over?
Yeah, because I would go home and I would, you know, I'd play Skyrim for 8 hours and then I'd work on music for 2 hours and then I'd work on stuff for, you know, work on school stuff. Never. So.
Right.
That's, you know, I've
tried. Did you graduate?
No, not at all.
Oh, no?
Nope. So in that sense, like, I know it's funny, like, I...
Congratulations?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. When somebody's like, man, you sure have accomplished a lot, I kind of feel like a little bit like a dropout, like kind of a deadbeat in a way. But, you know, it's the right decision for me. I just realized I could learn everything I wanted to learn on the internet for free.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, and are you able to, I mean, is it... Is it able to support you yet?
Getting really close. I still work at an ice cream shop in Bellingham called Mallard Ice Cream.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I pay, like, most of my bills. Not all of them, but most of them. But I'm still in that stage in the music thing where, like, all the money I make from this project just goes right back into the project.
Right back into it. Yeah.
So it's like, which is good. And, I mean, I wouldn't use my money for anything else. I would use it for eating food and, you know, making music, so.
And Fallout 4.
Yeah. God damn. I'm trying my hardest not to buy it.
Ain't going to happen, man.
It is going to happen. The internet is just so excited about it.
Everybody, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't they be?
Yeah. Well, I know.
So it looks amazing.
It does look amazing, dude.
Yeah.
I think I've watched... It's so funny, dude. Like, it's like when you're on a diet and you like watching people like eat pie or something.
Right.
Like, I've been watching gameplay. Like, I've been watching like people doing gameplay and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like... Man, that sure does look fun.
I bet they're having a great time.
I bet they're surrounded in Doritos, having a great time alone.
Exactly.
God.
That controller's getting sticky. Yeah, man. Yeah. I'm in the same boat, dude. Yeah. I'm 30 fucking 5 years old, and I'm still watching people play video games.
No, dude. I think...
Sadness.
It's... No, that's sadness. That's a... I think that's a societal thing. The whole, like, as you get older, you should give up video games and stuff.
No.
Like, that is not true. Like,
never going to happen.
It's never going to happen. I mean, I still have my Game Boy Color, and, like, I still play Pokemon Blue Version.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it is such a great game, and it brings me right back to, like, those comfortable moments of, like, riding in my mom's car for, like, hours every day. And, like, I'm never going to give that up because it's like, I don't know. It's like listening to the radio. It's like watching TV. It's like it's just like a part of who we are now.
Sure.
Like, I don't know. That's
it's the pop culture that you grew up with.
Yeah, totally.
Never gonna leave it.
I've never understood that whole like you still play video games and what are you like living in your mom's basement? Like no, dude. That's
well, yes, I am living in her basement. But what does that matter?
Yeah, totally. Those things don't.
Yeah,
yeah. They don't.
Free
they don't
rent,
affect
asshole.
Each other. Yeah. Exactly. Economical.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited to see where this whole thing takes you. It's got to be pretty cool to, you know, be, you know, at Sasquatch Music Festival playing the dance tent.
That was
and
really cool.
Going to Bonnaroo after that, like that must have been
that was a trip
insane. And then now you're doing tours with guys like Emancipator. So, you know, good on you, man.
Thank
Seems
you.
Seems like it's going well.
Yeah, things are going really well. I'm really excited about the future. It should be got a lot of cool things to hold. A lot of ideas in my head.
Yeah.
And a lot of ideals in my head that will probably fall apart, but we'll see.
Any new stuff coming up anytime soon?
Yeah, I am I'm finishing up like a little record right now and I
just got a little one.
Yeah, just a little baby guy. I just got signed to a label called Bastard Jazz. They're in Brooklyn.
Oh, cool.
So I'm really excited about that. It's like first time I've ever had, you know, like a big team, you know, kind of coaxing me along, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So they're gonna release that one. And then there's another one that's coming out in sometime in 2016. So and both those will probably do in 2016.
Now, what's the single that you just dropped?
Yeah, that's a song called Clay.
Right.
I just finished up with.
Sorry, I was burping, trying to get that out.
I liked it, dude.
Not even gonna cut it out.
Yeah, don't. Just keep. I love people's burping faces, and they're like they suck their chin back in.
Right. That anyway. And sneezing, it's like among the worst looks that you can possibly
totally.
Have.
But
on your
everybody
face.
Looks past it. It's just a, you know, you accept that like that's going to happen.
It's happening.
Yeah, totally. I've always wanted to take a picture of I've worked in food business like my whole life.
Uh-huh.
And there's that moment when like you're a cashier and like obviously you can't sneeze when you're working because like people will be like, you sneezed on my food. But. There's when you're working in a cashier and you have to sneeze, but you're listening to what the person is talking to you about.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to take a picture of what that person looks like when they're about to sneeze. And they're just standing there like straight faced. And they're slowly getting like weirder and weirder looking. And their face is getting tighter and tighter.
Uh-huh.
And their neck starts to bulge. And they're
well,
like,
and sometimes most of the time people put up like a hand. Almost like they'll be like raising their hand in class. Like, hold on, hold on. Something's about to happen.
Pause the moment. Yeah, absolutely. I think time stops in those moments for sure.
Do you ever hear the old wives' tale that if you kept your eyes open when you sneeze, like your eyeballs will pop out?
I have heard that one. I've also there's a MythBusters episode where they take that apart.
Is there really?
There is, dude. You should watch
it. Oh man, I gotta see that.
It's
dude.
Amazing. Yeah,
because that fucking freaked me out. The reason, man, my babysitter told me that when I was like. I must have been like 6 or 7.
Oh, that's prime.
And she told me that, and it was like, that. Why would you say that? Like, and it just freaked me out. But not to the point where I wasn't trying it.
Yeah.
You know, I was like trying to keep my eyes open.
So you were testing to make sure.
I was testing it.
Could you keep your eyes open?
No, couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
You should watch the episode. It's pretty cool. They like Adam. It's great. Of course, they do like the super slow mo, and Adam is like he's holding his eyes open like this, and he's just staring deep into the camera. And they throw pepper in front of his face, and he sneezes, and he just goes like that. And they go back through it like 20 times. They're like,
of course.
Clearly his eyes didn't come out.
Did not come out of his head. Yeah,
that's good though. What is it about that age? I've been
so impressionable.
Yeah,
as
so
a small
impressionable.
Child.
I mean. Yeah. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about. Oh, you're going to edit this, right?
No.
No, not at all?
No.
Okay, can I say anything on
sure.
this? Okay,
yeah.
Cool. For like a really long time, like me and my group of friends really thought that girls only had buttholes and that was it. And that was because one kid on the bus told us that. And that was
because you learned it from a Barbie doll.
Yeah. Oh, that's probably
there's
it.
There's nothing there on a Barbie doll.
Totally, except for the little Sharpie mark in the bottom that he made by himself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so, like, we believed that for a really long time. And, of course, no like, teacher is going to tell you, you know. You don't, like, come up and be like, how many holes are there? You know? Like, what are you going to... Oh, man, it's so funny. And we were just talking about that the other day, how long it took us to really figure that whole thing out. Good times.
Yeah.
Good times.
I was 21 years old.
Yeah,
I finally found out.
Yeah, and yesterday, I asked, and you know,
and they answered me.
they finally told me.
What the hell? Well, Grant, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me, dude. Do you have anything to plug? You're going to be on tour for how much longer?
We've got 10 more dates. Okay. No, 9 more dates.
So, 9 more dates?
Yeah. So today is Seattle, and then it's...
Well, this actually might be up because this is going to be up in like 2 weeks. So
this
might be a little bit late.
Cool. The tour is done. But. It's over. Yeah. And it was a great time. All of it was fun.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was.
But yeah, let's see. What do I have to plug? I have a single that just came out. It's out for free. Mm-hmm. It's on iTunes.
Yeah, it's Spotify. Fantastic.
Thank you. Really excited about that one. My girlfriend and I made that one quite a while ago, and we're really excited about it. She's like a really awesome folk singer, so it's cool, to be able to work with her a lot. And then, man, other than that, nothing super intense to plug. I'm still just...
Lay low for the holidays and work on your craft.
Exactly, dude.
Awesome.
Try to ride out the weather.
So. Well, Grant Eady.
That's me.
Thank you so much, dude.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. It's a pleasure.
Peace.
Well, there you have it, folks. Grant Eady of Manatee Commune. No shows coming up for Grant as of right now, but keep posted with him by liking his Facebook page, Manatee Commune, and going to the website, manateecommune.co. There's a lot of great music up there that you can listen to, a lot of great videos, all that good stuff right there at manateecommune.co. Hey, one thing we failed to mention at the beginning of the show is that we went to Good Friends. Good Friends. It's always great to see Good Friends doing amazing things, man. TBTL, the Too Beautiful to Live podcast with Luke Burbank and Andrew Walsh, great friends of mine. They celebrated their 2,000th episode at the Neptune Theater this last weekend, and it was so much fun. So much fun, man. Seeing those guys and going out afterwards and eating my... silly face stupid at 13 Coins with my buds Andrew Walsh and Luke Burbank. If you haven't checked out their podcast, Too Beautiful to Live, or TBTL for short, go and check that out, tbtl.net. Great show. Love that show. It's one of my favorites. So, yeah, and they post one every day, folks, every day. You can subscribe to the Air Raid podcast on iTunes, and if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. It only takes a couple seconds to give us a little star rating right there. We're also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, Cairo Radio apps, and now on the Spreaker app, or you can just visit www.air-raid.net to subscribe directly to our RSS feed, which has now changed, by the way, so it's all up and running right there. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheAirRaid Podcast. Our Twitter handle is @AirRaidNet, or email me directly, aaron@air-raid.net. And remember to take the pledge, folks. Take the pledge to tell somebody about this show. Tell your friends, your mother, your sister, your brother. We'll even take your cousins, maybe even your dads. Yeah, tell your dads about the show. They'd like it, right? Yeah, there you go. And if you want to hear other episodes with like-minded musicians like Odessa, or Jack Garrett, or let's see, who else in the EDM world and electronic world? Borns, maybe that kind of fits, I guess. I don't know. Go to air-raid.net and check out the archives page. All right, yeah, do that. Okay, everybody, this song is called Clay by Manatee Commune. Thank you so much for listening. Oh, it's been a lot of fun. Have a great week. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. See you then, everybody.